In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. The greater Fresno and Clovis area. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports, where we are every Saturday from 10 to 12, breaking down all the hot high school football action from last night, a little bit from Thursday. This was, you know, we're already thinking about playoffs. We're already, basically into the nitty-gritty of high school football. We're in the stretch run. And last night, there were some really, really good football games. We'll be breaking that down with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break. Gabe does a fantastic job covering high school sports. He has his own show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday. So, as always, Gabe's producing the show and love talking with him. So, after the break, we'll be breaking down some of the games that we had that we were able to see. And I was at the San Joaquin Memorial and Bullard game last night with Coach Pat Hill and Jose Gonzalez announcing the game. And I'm sure you guys saw it was a beatdown, man. San Joaquin Memorial is clicking on all cylinders right now. They beat Bullard 56-0 in a running clock. San Joaquin Memorial is looking really, really strong right now. They're peaking and they're playing at a high level. Coming up also at 10:30, got a couple Clovis West football players. Speaking of Clovis West, they are now 8-0. After beating Clovis North last night, 21-14. Quarterback Ryan Markarian and lineman Deshaun Watts will be coming in. We're talking with them, getting to know them a little bit more. You know, how are they 8-0? I mean, I knew they were going to be a lot better than last year. Last year they were 4-8 overall. They had a young team, a good crop of sophomores last year who are now juniors. And, you know, we knew they'd be much improved and making some waves up and down the central section. But I didn't think 8-0 would be on really anybody's radar, but here they are. You know, they got a tough game next week, Central. So, it's going to be a pretty incredible story if they can finish 10-0 after what they've been through the last three or four, five years. At the top of hour number two, around 11 o'clock, we're going to bring in ABC Sports Director Stephen Hicks. Stephen Hicks does a great job on Friday Night Lights, and, he's entrenched in the Central Valley sports, and I see him around at a lot of events, and he's a great guy. So talking with him about what he saw last night up and down the central section, what it's like to be a sportscaster, the sportscaster's life, what do his Fridays look like. And I texted him pretty late last night after his segment and said, hey, Steven, are you available to come on? He's like, yeah, heck yeah. Make sure you text me in the morning and I'm awake, because Friday's about doing me in as far as running around town and being tired. So, yeah, looking forward to talking to Steven. And then at the bottom of hour number two, a little after 11:30, Darren Carr is coming on the show. And, yep, that last name obviously sounds very familiar. Well, it's Derek and David's middle brother, and Darren is the head coach of Bakersfield Christian High School. I met him this last summer. At Tahoe, the Edgewood golf tournament was going on, and I happened to be there in South Lake, and the Carr brothers were paired up and were golfing, and so Darren and the family were walking around, so I got to hang out with them and follow them for a couple holes. So it was really neat getting to know Darren, and he's a great guy, and I know he's going to have some great stories. So really looking forward to that conversation and you guys listening to it. It's going to be really, really fun. So, couple Clovis West players, Ryan McCarry and Deshaun Watts, and obviously Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break, Stephen Hicks and Darren Carr on the show. All right, this is the segment where I break down a little bit of the games from last night and let you guys know the scores that happened up and down the central section. So there were a few games on Thursday of note. Redwood beat Menachie 44-12. Redwood's got a really good team this year. They might sneak into Division I. They're going to be a tough opponent for anybody. And a game that I watched for about a little over a half, and that was Central and Clovis East. And Central, talk about, you know, San Joaquin Memorial clicking all cylinders as well. That was a big bounce back game for the Grizzlies. They beat Clovis East 56-13. It was 56-0 at half. I mean, everything was working for the Grizzlies. Everything. Dayton Tafoya, pinpoint pass. He only threw 12 passes that game. Defense, smothering, interceptions. I think there was a 91-yard touchdown run from their sophomore running back. Yeah, so that was a big statement game. I know Clovis East was missing some players. I think up to 6 players. So you could tell that hurt them. That hurt them defensively and offensively as well. But, yeah, big statement game from Central. Never count the Grizzlies out, man. Never count those guys out. Those guys are always battle-tested. They got a great coaching staff with Coach Kyle Biggs. Hanford was all over to Larry Western on Thursday, 56-0. All right, so last night, mentioned the San Joaquin Memorial Buller game, 56-0. Brandon Ramirez, incredible player, headed to Fresno State. He had 5 touchdowns. The week before, he had 4 carries against Madera for 141 yards and 3 touchdowns. Well, last night, he scored 5 touchdowns, a few on long runs, but quite a player. But one of the storylines in that game last night was San Joaquin Memorial's kicker, and Coach Pat Hill was just raving about this kid. His name is Alex Asperuhoff, only a sophomore. And you talk about a high-level kicker already. Well, his dad kicked at Fresno State. Again, if that last name sounds familiar, yeah, his father kicked at Fresno State. And punter and kicker, he didn't miss an extra point, last week against Madera. His punts are on point. He could pretty much place the ball wherever he wants. So we actually named him and Brandon Ramirez our co-players of the game. So that's a name to keep your eye on. Edison. I need to talk about this game a little bit. Beat Justin Garza 58-0. So obviously points aplenty. So you want to know, well, who scored all the touchdowns? Well, Yajay Vance, the quarterback for Edison. How about these stats? 22 of 33. Okay, decent. For 499 yards. Couldn't find that extra 1 yard on the film, I guess, to get to 500. But 499 yards and 8 touchdowns. Yep, 8 touchdowns. Oh, that's 3rd in Central Section history. The record is 9 by Brandon Jones in 2013 for Bakersfield Christian. So 8 touchdowns he threw in that game. His main target, well, he had 2. Desjer Malone, 6 catches for 192 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Rashad Perry had 198 yards and 2 touchdowns. Well, on the other side, Caleb Matthews had a big game as well. He threw for 4 touchdowns, 356 yards. So, yeah, wild game. Points aplenty in that one. All right, a few more scores. Sanger beat Madera 42-3. Corcoran beat Arosi 33-8. Lindsay beat Orange Cove 42-21. Strathmore all over Granite Hills 49-6. Woodlake beat Farmersville 13-7. East Yosemite League action. Mount Whitney over El Diamante, 24-0. Porterville, who lost their first game of the year last week to Redwood, beat Golden West, 26-10. In the Mountain League, Lompoc beat Napomo, 49-0. Mission Prep beat Aurora Grande, 41-35. Paso Robles beat Santa Ynez, 21-16. And St. Joe's beat Rigetti, 34-7. St. Joe's has a really good team. They are ranked number 5 on Cal Preps. In North Yosemite League action, Fresno beat Sanger West 20-12. Madera South beat McLean 24-16. Roosevelt got their first win of the year, beat Hoover 42-0. Sunnyside 48, Torres 35. In Northwest Sequoia action, Carruthers beat Yosemite 63-0. Fowler beat Riverdale 56-19. I hear Fowler's got a really good sophomore quarterback. And Liberty continues their perfect season. They are now 8-0. With a 63-0 win over Parlier. In Southwest Yosemite River League, that is down in Bakersfield, Frontier of Bakersfield beat Stockdale 30-7, and Liberty was all over Centennial 41-7. Liberty, you know, they're the defending section champs. Got a few losses on the season. And Centennial, they were having a really good year, but their schedule was a little light. Well, they ran into one of the heavyweights in the section in Liberty and lost 41-7. In Tri-County, Kings Canyon, Central Valley Christian beat Kingsburg, billed as game of the year, and it certainly lived up to that billing. They beat them 27-26. We're following that game all night last night. I was getting texts. We were getting tweets. The rumor is there were over 6,000 people there. 6,000 people at Kingsburg for this game. Came down to the wire. Central Valley Christian pulls it off. An incredible game. Incredible atmosphere. The pictures, if you just search Twitter and look at some of the pictures of the crowds packed, the stands, the celebration after the game, the highlights, the high-level plays, the drama, that game had everything. Everything. They definitely want to meet each other again, especially if you're Kingsburg, right? And the two teams very may will. I believe both of them will be the number one and number two seeds in Division II. So what a contest down there in Kingsburg. Congrats to Central Valley Christian for winning that one. Washington Union beat Selma 52-16. Exeter DB Emmanuel 42-6. Reedley beat Sierra Pacific 42-20. Buchanan all over Clovis. Well, actually, it was a tough game for them. Clovis is actually winning 24-21. Buchanan comes back and beats them 45-24. And a game that we're going to be talking a little bit more about, Clovis West beat Clovis North 21-14. And in West Yosemite League action, Lemoore beat Dinuba 28-14. That game had a lot of interest in it. Dinuba coming off of that really good win at Hanford a couple weeks ago, and Lemoore keeps rolling. Really good ball club down there in Lemoore. Tulare Union beat Mission Oak 34-14. And Garces beat Bakersfield Christian. We'll be talking with Darren Carr of Bakersfield Christian a little bit more about that. So Garces wins 30-13. Kermit beat Hanford West 41-7. And, yeah, that about wraps it up. So coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about these games a little more in depth. We'll see where Gabe Camarillo was hanging out. I know he travels a lot and sees as many games as possible, and he definitely has a lot of information. So talking with Gabe Camarillo coming up after the break on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Nothing like a little 21 Pilots to bring you back in. So, trying to break down the high school football games from last night as quickly as possible in my first segment. I always run out of time with that. Got to make sure leave some to be able to talk to Gabe Camarillo. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe Camarillo _. You could also follow me at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors. Gabe does a great job covering the Central section. This guy gets a show 4 days a week for 2 hours. I get one show on Saturday for 2 hours, breaking stuff down. I need a four-hour show, man. We need to have some type of a football extravaganza one of these days, Gabe. And we just have 4 hours of straight high school football talk. We need to find a big sponsor But
I think in 2 weeks we can have our own selection show. It'd be awesome if we were able to have the bracket reveal for all six divisions on Central Valley Sports Report.
Hey, I don't think anybody would be opposed to that. All right, let's make it happen. Let's find a big sponsor. Let's find some airtime on 1430 ESPN, and we'll definitely try to get that in the works. That'd be a lot of fun. So, Gabe, following your Twitter account last night, it looked like you were at a couple places. So what were some of the football games that you were able to check out last night?
I started my night at La Monica Stadium, checking out Clovis North, Clovis West. I also went to watch Sunnyside Torres at Sunnyside Stadium, and then I ended my night at SJM Bullard.
All right. So what stood out to you in that first game you went to?
Clovis West and Clovis North was an entertaining game, although I didn't realize I'd be watching Clovis West final points in that second quarter. I think Clovis North defensively played well, and I think we've known that Clovis North has a good defense, but they showed it again against Mark Herring and the Golden Eagles. Now, I know that this is going to be a very exciting matchup next week. I wonder if Clovis West is able to stop Central's run game. I think that'll lead to a Golden Eagle victory. As far as Central's concerned, though, they played so well on Thursday, it's fair to say Central's back.
No, yeah, they look really, really good. You and I were at that game, and we're like, man, it kind of looks like a different team. They were flying all over the field, talking about Central. They're a little bit of bumps in the roads along the way. They had that comeback win, but they're looking really strong right now. And You were at the Sunnyside Torres as well. Torres, a little bit of a surprise this year for a really fairly new high school.
Yeah, but they're really good. And Coach Marquez, he's awesome. He's been around at Edison. He's been at all different types of stops. So he was actually in the 2018 season the coach of the NYO champion Fresno Warriors. I was just talking to him a couple weeks ago, and he has all this experience. So for someone who is taking on this challenge of raising a varsity program now in its second season, he's doing a fantastic job. I think you can say the Torres Toros might be a little bit ahead of schedule, because coming into last night, they were undefeated in North Yosemite League action. Sunnyside has always been the big kid on the block. They were the defending NYO champs. So Torres really gave it to them for at least three quarters, but in the fourth quarter, Sunnyside pulled away 48-35. This is the kind of game that Sunnyside wins, those high-scoring matchups. So Sunnyside looks like they'll be in the driver's seat to win the NYL, but if they want to make a run in the playoffs, giving up 35 points to Torres, that'd be a good place to start.
No, you're absolutely right. And so I did mention the incredible stats that we were able to see last night from the Edison and Garza game, right? 58-40.
Yeah,
you know, plenty. That's 98 points.
Let's not overlook the fact that Garza, I think it's fair to ask the question, should Garza be in the CMAC? Because they're 0-3 right now. They're about to play Memorial next week. I think Garza is awesome, and they have the playmakers. They obviously put up, what, like 38, 48 points. The problem is, obviously, they can't stop Edison's passing attack. They couldn't stop Bullard's run game. I think we hear about this a lot with different schools, right, that should not be in certain leagues. Like Sunnyside may be too good for the NYL. Maybe they should be in the CMAC. I think it's also true for Garza and Madera, right? They should be in the NYL or a different conference, because it's not as competitive for them in the CMAC. They kind of go into these games thinking, oh, we're already behind and the game hasn't even started. So that's awesome for Edison. And obviously, as an alum, shout out to Yajay Vance. But on the other side of the coin, we have to start asking ourselves, like, how can we make these conferences as competitive as possible to avoid these types of embarrassing losses? Because I know Coach Ferris is a defensive guy, and him giving up 500 passing yards and 8 touchdowns, we keep tweeting about it, we keep broadcasting it, but I know there's a coach out there, or a few coaches out there, who are pretty upset about this loss.
Yeah, so it's always tough, right, to do with a new school like that. And at 37 kids on their roster, only seven were juniors, right? So you're playing with a lot of sophomores. And yeah, when we were trying to figure out where Justin Garza High School was going to play, at first there was talk about them being in the track in the future. And
crazy.
So I'm like, even when they were put in the CMAC, I was like, oh, that might be a little too much for their programs.
Yeah, I think we're talking about it with a couple of guys after the games yesterday, and I'm like, imagine this type of super scenario where you take SJM and Bullard out of the CMAC and put them in the track, and then you have 8 teams, and you have 2 different leagues inside the track. You have the track north and the track south, and say the track north is like Buchanan, Clovis North, Clovis West, and Clovis, and the track south is Clovis East, SJM, Bullard Central. That's an idea to try and make the CMAC less daunting for the Maderas and the Sangers and the Bullards, because I'll tell you, you know, Garza versus Memorial is going to happen next week. And after looking at Memorial and you watch them yourself, they've scored 112 straight unanswered points in the last 2 games. Is Memorial versus Garza a game that really needs to happen? We already know what's going to happen, because Memorial is one of the best teams in the section and Garza's in its second year of existence.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when Buchanan opened up and they were put – you know, they were put in kind of middle divisions, and you know, they started off with the freshman and sophomore, and then they built up. But yeah, that's they kind of put in a tough spot. But I know they got the right coach in place, Joseph Ferris, and you know, he has a great perspective on football and life and where the program is headed. So yeah, the program is definitely in good hands. And then, you know, you mentioned it, man. San Joaquin Memorial, they're rolling right now, 56-0. Their offense was absolutely clicking. Brandon Ramirez, Donovan Harris, who got just as many carries as Brandon Ramirez, looks really good. The linebackers, I mean, Stovall, number 47 for San Joaquin Memorial, is a dude. So, yeah, that team looks really strong, and they are well on their way to a CMAC championship.
So after further review over the Madera and Bullard game, I'm impressed with Edison scoring 20 points against the Panthers, because the last 2 opponents have not scored anything in the last 8 quarters. They're outscoring their competition 154-20.
Yeah.
154-20 in CMAC. I've never seen Memorial this dominant in CMAC, and I have 2 reasons for it. One is they played a tough non-conference schedule. They played Buchanan and Central. They played Queen Creek and Garces and all these teams and Clovis North. And all these teams got them ready for CMAC play. So I'm not concerned about Memorial going into postseason play because I know they've already battled against all the teams they plan on facing in November. I think this is a very smart move by Coach Gostin, and I know it'll happen again next year. They play Buchanan and Central again next year. So this is awesome for Memorial. I think this is one of the deepest teams in the Central Valley. I have them on my short list as Central Section title contender.
Yeah, they look really strong right now. And the Kingsburg and Central Valley Christian game, a game that 14:30 and you and I hyped all week, and I know you had Coach Hughes on your show as well. That game was as advertised. Over 6,000 people there in Kingsburg. Came down to the wire. Got a few stats here. Ethan Winslow had a really good game, threw for 231 yards and two touchdowns. And you talk about the running backs for each of those teams. Bryson Donaldson, his first two games for Central Valley Christian were out of this world. Well, a little bit of tough sledding against Kingsburg. Held him to an average of 3.9 yards per carry. 17 carries for 67 yards. Did have two touchdowns. On the other side, Trace Jackson, 16 carries for 67 yards. So same amount of yards with one less carry and had one touchdown. Jackson had seven straight games of 100 yards, so that was broken. But, yeah, what an incredible game, incredible atmosphere.
That stat just shows you how even these teams are. The running backs are even. The quarterbacks are even. The overall, across the board, it looked like, watching it on YouTube because there was a live feed, Kingsburg was trying to run away from Jaden Moore. Like, whatever side Jaden Moore was on, they were going to run the opposite way because that's just the type of a game changer Jaden Moore is. But it really came down to the little things, like the backup quarterback for CVC coming in and making a big play, a big touchdown pass to Zach Swart. That Brent Crozy, got to give a shout out to him because Max Backer gets a lot of the love and deservedly so. But when he needed to be in the game for certain packages, CVC's backup quarterback Brent Crozy was in. It reminded me of last year when CVC and Kingsburg played. Kingsburg's quarterback Ethan Winslow went down early. Max Workington stepped in once again for CVC. A backup quarterback steps in now for CVC. Last year was for Kingsburg and makes a big play. Everyone, literally everyone on the roster had something to do with that win last night, and I know Coach Hughes is happy about it.
Yeah, that's just great for the Central Valley. We talked about the billboard, the sign that billed it as the game of the year, and certainly lived up to the hype. All right, really quick, Gabe, we got a couple minutes. So the Cal Preps rankings were populated. They updated. It's always fun to see that. Hit the little refresh button. So you could go to calpreps.com, and a lot of these rankings are really come to fruition right here. So Clovis West holds strong at number one. You got Buchanan at number two, Liberty at three. San Joaquin Memorial is at number four. So, you know, if these rankings would hold true right now and teams would win out, you'd have a San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis West semifinal. Wow. Central Valley Christian is number five on this. They're Division III, so they can't go up to Division I. Then there's Central. They went up to number six. St. Joe's at number seven. Kingsburg, eight. Clovis East, nine. And Lemoore, number 10. Anything stand out to you? You got any thoughts about that?
The happiest team this morning is Central because then now they have a chance at a rematch against Memorial in the quarterfinal. And that's what Central wants most. That was a very intense game between the two back on August 26th. They really want a rematch, and they might get it if they stay true at number five and if they take care of business against the number 12 seed. SJM Central is going to be a fun quarterfinal. I wouldn't necessarily pencil it in, Paul. I know SJM's a good team. I just named them on my short list of contenders. Central's on that short list of contenders, too, for the D1 title. So I'm looking forward to some of these matchups. Redwood, now actually the 10 seed. They jumped up from the 11 seed. Hanford's still in there. Garces beat Bakersfield Christian last night. So now it looks like they'll make the playoffs. And Garces and Hanford are so close to each other. I think if Garces beats Centennial or if Hanford loses to Lemoore, you might see Garces jump in ahead of Hanford.
Well, Garces, a lot of us were saying they're the best before last night, the best 1-6 team, not only in the section, but maybe in the state. Those guys have been battle-tested. They need those three wins to even be eligible for the playoffs. So, yeah, whoo, I was breathing a sigh of relief for them, right? We got Bakersfield head coach Darren Carr coming on the show, but, it was good to see Garces get a win because playoffs without Garces, what the heck is that?
Real quick, I wanted to mention this too. In D2, I'm going to post the rankings on Twitter, but Edison now makes the playoff because of last night's win. They would be the 16 seed and face CVC in the first round. In what world does CVC and Edison play in the playoffs?
Oh my gosh, that would be nuts. That'd be crazy. All right, good job by you, Gabe. Always appreciate you. Make sure you listen to Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. And good job by you. Thanks for producing my show. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Paul. And Bulldogs going up against San Jose State. Who you got, Paul?
Big one. Oh, come on, man. I'm going to the game. I got to root for the Bulldogs. I know. What is it? Is the spread 8.5 still?
Yes, yes. And I think that's a bit too much. At 5, I can understand. I know.
The disrespect. All right. We need a big bounce back game from the Dogs. Go, Dogs.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be at the game. You'll be at the game. Devontae Adams will be at the game. So, fun night tonight at Valley Children's Stadium.
Absolutely. Thanks. All right. Coming up after the break, we're talking with Clovis West. Quarterback Ryan Markarian's done a great job leading the Golden Eagles to a perfect 8-0 record. Coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Good morning. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Mitters. You can follow me on Twitter. Twitter is the information superhighway. Good thing about Twitter is you can choose who you want to follow, right? You could choose the information that you want to find, that you want in your life. You can follow me at Paul Mitters, PaulMeadors. You can also follow 1430 ESPN at 1430 ESPN. Yeah. If you guys miss any episodes in the past or you miss an interview, you could go to the 1430 ESPN website, 1430 ESPN Fresno website. Go to podcasts and Central Valley Sports Report, and they're all right there. You can fast forward through things. Actually, commercials are taken out, so it's just one straight episode. One of the reasons why I mentioned that is because the last 2 weeks I've had really – really fun interviews, hour-long interviews, well, about 48 minutes. And last week was Efren Gazar. And I got a story of walking on at Fresno State, being an all-WAC conference guy, 8 interceptions in his 2 years playing there. Coach Pat Hill just loves him. And just an underdog story. Got diagnosed with ALS a year ago, so he's struggling with that. But what an incredible interview. Guys, I really recommend going back and listen to that because he speaks from the heart. And we are rooting for Efren. We're Guzar strong for sure. 2 weeks before that, I had McKay Christensen, Clovis West legend. Had him on for a full hour. So that was a great interview, reminiscing about his time at Clovis West, being drafted number 6 overall by the Angels, playing in the major leagues, going on his Mormon mission, just an incredible athlete, Hall of Famer, every Hall of Fame here in Fresno and Clovis. Speaking of Clovis West, we got their quarterback here, Ryan Markarian, senior, for the 8-0 Golden Eagles, having quite a year. And, Ryan, first of all, thanks for coming, man. Did you get to leave practice early today?
Yes, I did. I left pretty early.
Yeah. Were the guys giving you a hard time? Like, oh, man, look at Ryan's got to go. Got to go time us. No?
No.
They were cool about it?
Yeah.
All right, cool. You guys are 8-0, yes. Right? You guys are having a great season. And, you know, we'll go back and talk about that game a couple weeks ago on that last-second touchdown pass. But, hey, last night, right, Clovis North, they're a good team. And you guys knew it. They've had two tight games before in league. They won one, a lost one, but that game could have gone either way. You know, they were beat by Clovis East on a Hail Mary the same night that you had your great throw. But last night was tough, right?
Yeah. Well, a team like Clovis North, they run the ball a lot, and they run a lot of time off the clock whenever they have the ball. So they're a team where you can't really make many mistakes against them, or they're really going to capitalize and keep controlling that clock. And if they're controlling that clock and you turn the ball over and they score, you're in real big trouble. So we were just focused on, you know, taking care of the ball, no turnovers, and just letting our defense go to work.
Yeah, and you guys scored those 21 points in the first half and then got shut out. So you're right. That Clovis North did a good job. They probably stuck to the game plan. And when you don't have a lot of possessions in a game, you could play tight. Right, you're like, oh, we got to score here. Oh, we got to get this first down, because if they get the ball back, they might run 6 or 7 minutes off the clock. So, how did you guys score your touchdowns last night?
So we scored our first drive by a 15-yard run by Informberry, great run, and then we scored the second drive on an eight-yard touchdown pass to Marshall, and then we scored the third drive on a on a long, it was like a 40-yard touchdown to Marshall again.
Marshall.
Great kid.
Marshall
Sanders. It's amazing
what he does. Well, we were able to broadcast the game against Clovis East, and, you know, obviously seeing all the highlights. And, when you got a weapon and you got three of them, you know, you got four of them.
Yeah, four.
Number 17 now is kind of come out there. But when you got weapons like that on the field where you know you can throw it to basically any spot on the field to three different guys, what's that like as a quarterback, having that confidence?
Yeah, I mean, it makes my job a lot easier, obviously, and it helps me know no matter what. Like, if I go through my progressions, no matter who is open or who I have to throw it to, I got trust in every single one of my guys, and that's just a great feeling to have as a quarterback.
And Sanders, right?
Yeah.
He's got such great range. You know, hey, if I throw a deep ball, sometimes you're just like, I can't throw it deep enough, right? I got to lead that guy, right?
Yeah.
But what's it like having a receiver, you know, that you have the ultimate trust in?
Well, it's crazy. I can give him the ball on a 5-yard hitch, and he can take it 60 yards, make three guys miss, and take it to the house. Or he can beat someone over the top like he did last night for a 40-yard touchdown. So it's like, I don't know how defense is game plan for those guys. I would not want to be a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you
against
can't.
Those guys.
You
yeah.
can't, yeah. And that's good for your stats, right? You throw a little 5-yard hitch and he takes it to the house.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, that's an 80-yard
exactly.
touchdown for me.
Exactly.
That makes me look good. All right, so before last night's game, you said you threw a couple touchdowns. You had thrown 17 touchdowns with only three interceptions. So ball control, not turning it over, is a big thing in football, right?
Yes.
So is that something that you take, you know, you really take to heart, something that the coaches really preach, or is that kind of your mindset going into games as well, take care of the football?
Well, I think that's one of the biggest parts of being a solid quarterback is taking care of the ball. I think that's one of the biggest things, because if you take care of the ball, I mean, if you turn the ball over, that's just giving the other team more shots to score. So if you can keep the ball and not turn it over and take care of it, they're not going to score a lot of points either.
Yeah.
So it takes care of both sides.
No, absolutely. Okay, so let's go back a couple weeks ago to that Buchanan game. All right, so you're opening up track.
Yeah.
Buchanan, you know how good they are, right? That game against Liberty that was crazy that they won down there, called a little early due to lightning. Back and forth game, right? So kind of set up that final play, right? Because Mandel – drove down 99 yards.
Yeah, 99.
Okay. So then did that tie the game?
They were up by one. Yeah.
They were up by one, right?
Or two. They're up by two.
They're up by two. Okay. So they kick off, and you got a little bit of help, right? You got a couple penalties, right, in your favor.
Yeah.
And then how many seconds left before that game-winning throw?
There was I think we started the drive with 45 seconds, and then before that play started, I think it was 35 seconds on the clock. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So why don't you describe that game-winning touchdown throw to Marshall Sanders? Let's go from, like, the play call. Did you and Marshall have a little talk, and then describe what went on in that
play?
Yeah,
so we had the call was we were an empty, so no running back, just five receivers. And to the boundary, we had Landon Wright, and I forgot who was with him, but it was two receivers on the left and three receivers to the right. And we had our two receivers on the left run just two hitches. And our guys on our three receivers on the right side had a vertical concept. So Marshall was supposed to go across the field. And then our slot was JoJo. He was supposed to go up the seam. And then whoever was outside, just the outside release. And we saw pre-snap. I saw pre-snap that they didn't have any deep safeties. And their DBs were playing pretty tight. So I thought it was third and five. I thought they were going to bring the house. So I took I got the snap. I took a quick peek at the hitches. But it was man, so they weren't going to be there. And then I came to the other side of the field, and I saw Logan Stute coming in free, so I had to just let it go and let Marshall run right under it.
Was it 40 yards? We were on the 40-yard line?
It was 40, yeah.
It was 40-yard line. So number nine, right? Logan's number nine.
Yeah.
Comes at you, right?
Yeah.
That guy's a dude.
He's a dude. He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. Yeah. He's going to play Division I football. He's only a junior. So you let that ball fly, and when you – When did you know that Marshall had caught it and you guys had scored? Because he hit you pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You're on the ground.
Yeah, I was on the ground, but it was crazy. I was on the ground, and I was looking up at my left tackle. He was right above me to help me up, and I heard the student section start going crazy, and that's when I knew he caught it. And I got up, and we were all going crazy. It was a great feeling.
Did you run down the field?
Yeah.
You ran down the field and hugged him, jumped on him, or whatever. So when you get back. When the game finally ends, right? I think he ended on with an interception. You know, what was the feeling and euphoria that you had? I mean, what was going through your mind?
Obviously I was excited because we just knocked off the number one team in the section at the time. But, you know, that game meant more than just the number one seed because there were coaches on that Buchanan staff that used to be at Clovis West that, you know, we wanted to win that game really bad, not just for that number one spot, just because we wanted to show everyone that West is really back and that we're really like a team that can't be messed with.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And you guys are 8-0, and you know, we've talked a lot about you throughout the season, but you know, last year, right? You guys were 4-8, and rotating quarterbacks, you and Tyler Patrick, and just kind of trying to figure some things out. But what do you think's been the biggest turnaround? Obviously, Coach Eric Brown's second year, right?
Yeah.
What's been the biggest turnaround that you've seen with this program, and the reason for your success this year?
I think we know our guys know the offense and defense so much better than they did last year. It's just like second nature this year. Like last year, we would be messing up spacing, messing up routes. Our defense wouldn't fill the right gaps. But this year, it's just clicking. And we had a real off season this year. We were able to get in the weight room and condition with Coach DaCosta, who does a great job with us. And our mindset is different this year. We just focus on going 1-0 every week. And at the end of the season, we'll just look back and see how well we did. Going 1-0 every week.
And summer played a big part, right? You guys did a lot of 7-on-7 stuff. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, 7-on-7 is not real football. Yeah, sure, absolutely. We understand that. But it's good for building rapport, for getting your routes right, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you guys, do you think that it started at the end of football season last year? Did you guys make a real commitment? Or it was just a natural progression through the summer then to the season?
I think it was it was during spring ball of last year when we really started to say, let's lock in. Like, this really could be our year. Like, we got some guys, and we're going to have a full off season with this coaching staff, this amazing coaching staff. So we knew during spring ball that we got to lock in because this could be our year.
And then, so looks like on the schedule, then you got Central, and then that big one against Clovis, right?
Yeah.
That's always a big one. So, you know, had a little practice this morning, probably looked at a little bit of film, but what are you looking forward to most in that game against Central next week? It's going to be a game.
It'll be a really good game. I'm just excited to go again. I mean, they put up a good fight against Buchanan. They almost beat Buchanan.
Yeah.
They looked really good against Clovis East, so it should be a pretty good game.
No, I agree. Okay. So we talked a little bit off air before you came on just about your – where you went to school, and you've been a Clovis West kid through and through, right? What elementary and then junior high and then obviously Clovis West. So what elementary?
Yeah, I went to Liberty Elementary, started playing football in fifth grade at Liberty. And then I went to Kasner Intermediate after that, seventh and eighth grade. And then I went to Clovis West and I've been there ever since.
You have a older brother.
Yeah.
Played football too. All right.
Patrick Markaren. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about your brother.
He was on that 2010 Valley Championship team, the last time they won it, which is pretty cool. And he's a graduate assistant at Baylor University right now for the offensive line, which is pretty cool. So I actually called him this morning before your interview. they were going to the fair today, so it was good to talk to him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you vividly remember going to Clovis West games growing up, right? Were you a ball boy? Were you on the sidelines or anything like that? Or you just would go to the games and watch?
I was like 5 years old when he when he was a senior. I don't really remember those games very, very well.
All right, yeah. 2010, that is a long time ago. That was 12 years ago, right?
Yeah.
My math's right?
12,
that was crazy. All right, so you don't remember that much. But you say you're Clovis West through and through, right? So,
yeah.
So what are some of the great – players that you remember watching, some of the guys that maybe looked up to? So, you know, I'm thinking Adrian Martinez and Dante Chacheret and Caleb Kelly. Did you watch some of those guys play football?
Yeah, so I did watch Adrian and Caleb and all of them play, and I also grew up around Kendall Brock when he was playing with my brother. Who's the running back that went to Fresno State from Clovis West? I'm blanking on his name.
I can't remember. You got me on that one too.
Yeah, but that was a great team with Adrian.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of sets. The Schramm brothers.
Yeah,
I remember watching them.
Yeah, DJ had a good game against Fresno for Boise State.
Yeah.
Well, Rodney Wright.
Rodney Wright.
Thinking about Rodney Wright as well. Yeah, Rodney. He played a little bit of slot, and a little bit of running back as well.
He was a stud back then.
So some great teams. Did you guys before the year have any goals in mind? You talk about going 1-0 every year, right? But here you guys sitting at 8-0, you know, looking at the number one seed again. You got two tough games coming up, but you guys have goals. You remember, you know, as a senior, like sitting down, and say, guys, let's do this, or let's try to win track. Let's try to win Valley. Was there specific goals you had in mind?
Yeah, I think we're all the whole team's goal is to win the Valley Championship. But our goals, like starting in the off season, were to just have the best offense in the Valley, have the best defense in the Valley. We wanted to be more efficient in the passing game this year than we were last year, which I think we've been doing pretty well. And our O-line's improved a lot since last year. They've improved a lot. That is a big part of our team that has improved and has helped a lot. And it's just all coming together.
No, I agree. You're talking with Brian Markarian, Clovis West quarterback. All right, so who is your favorite NFL guy?
Ooh.
You got a guy?
Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
He's your guy?
Aaron Rodgers.
Why?
I mean, I've grew up a Packer fan. I've always been a Packer fan. And I believe that he's the most skilled quarterback of all time. I believe that there's no one, like Tom Brady, I think is greater because you know, he wins more, he has more rings. But I think skill-wise, Aaron Rodgers is the best.
I agree.
Of all time.
I agree. I'm amazed at that guy. Just his throwing motion, right? His ability to scramble, his hips.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you just throw the ball, you know, on a line. He's got a cannon. But yeah, all right. So we got to do that. We got a dude here. We only got a couple minutes, man. We got Deshaun Watts, a little surprise guest here, a lineman. Big part of the Clovis. Big part of the reason why these guys are 8-0. Heard this guy's got a big personality. Is that true?
How we doing? That should tell you.
Yeah,
there
it is. That should tell you right there. You can check his levels there, Jorge. Yeah. All right. So what? Well, we'll start with you, Ryan. What can you say about this guy? No, he came back, right?
Yeah.
He left you guys for a little bit, played for another school, and now you're back. So what can you say about this guy?
Well, I've known him since about third grade. Probably we played basketball together, and then we played together in middle school, 7th, 8th grade. Freshman year we played together, and then he went to Bullard. Won a ring over there at Bullard. Still give him stuff about it. I hate it. And then we got him back this year, and he's been an amazing addition to this team. I can't even explain how good he's been to this team. It's just great to have a center like this. I mean, as a quarterback, it's great to have a center like this because you can just step up in the pocket whenever you want because he's not getting pushed back. So it's just amazing, yeah.
All right, well, look at this guy, man. All smiles. He's happy, man. So, Deshaun, what's the season been like for you, man?
Oh, it's been good. New coaching staff. Get to play with my brothers again, and it's just, like, been amazing. We've just been balling. We 8-0 now.
You're 8-0. So you play center. You're playing on the defensive line as well, right?
Yeah,
so
I play
go both ways.
Yes,
what do you like better, playing center, or you like mixing things up and trying to make tackles?
I like mixing things up a little bit, like getting sacks out there, pancaking dudes.
Yeah, all right. So what I want to ask you guys really quick, is there like a healthy competition between you guys, like as far as like, you know, on the field stuff, like, hey, we got to get a touchdown here right now. Like, come on, man. You got to hold your block, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We'd
sure.
be yelling at each other all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, good. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But it feels good to have a teammate and a friend that you know you can fire them up and hold them accountable for that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Between the two of you, who's got the worst taste in music?
No, that's
the worst.
That's definitely him.
Oh, they're pointing at each other right now. They're pointing at each other.
I know it's not me.
No,
I know for a fact it's not me.
Is who?
All right, Deshaun, why is it Ryan? What don't you like about his music?
His music taste is not top notch like mine.
All right, well, what is it? Is he a country guy? What is he?
No. I'm a big rap guy. I listen to almost all rap. I don't really listen to a lot of country stuff, or like I listen to a lot of old stuff. Like,
okay,
but. He listens to stuff I think like little girls listen to. He doesn't listen to.
Is he like NSYNC or what? What does he listen to? Backstreet Boys?
No.
Dean Martin.
Oh, yeah?
Dean Martin, yeah.
Real old school?
Yeah.
Like Dean Martin, old school Dean Martin.
Uh-huh.
Well, how'd you get hooked on that?
My older brother put me on. He listened out way too much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is awesome. So how big are you right now, Deshaun?
I would say 6'1", 300.
6'1", 300.
Yeah.
You got to round up a little bit? You like saying that 300?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So what do you – you know, this season's been great for both of you guys. We only got about another minute here. So what has the coaching staff been like? So it's been off the charts, right? So
sure.
You want a good coaching staff that's going to coach you up. Yeah. Right, but yet you want to please as well, right? You're like, man, I don't want to let this guy down, right? So
sure.
is that kind of one of the mentalities of this team, Deshaun? What talk about the coaching staff?
I mean, they just push us real hard. They just want us to be the best that we can be, and it's just like I really love it from them. And it's just the best they can do and the best we can do is really good for us.
Yeah. So the coach staff does a great job. Like we could have beat Buchanan by 50 points, and I think the next day we come into practice, they'll still be on us, getting on us, yelling at us, making sure we're doing right. They never let off. They're always on the gas pedal, always trying to get us better, and it's amazing.
For sure.
Well, it's showing on the field for sure. Clovis West, 8-0. We got Central coming up. Is it it's a Friday game, right?
Yeah.
Is that Central?
Yeah.
All right. Really good chance. The 14:30 ESPN is going to be there broadcasting that game, so – you know, we got to see your game against Clovis East, got to watch you guys ball out in that game. So good chance we're going to get to see you guys again and get your names out there. And I know you guys are having a great season, and you guys are a lot of fun to watch. So congrats on the season so far, and good luck in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having us.
All right. Ryan Markarian, Deshaun Watts, Clovis West. Deshaun, I know, was at practice. So that's why you got here a little bit late, but we got to know you a little bit and your smiling personality. Really, really fun. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Stephen Hicks, ABC 30, sports director on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thanks for joining us. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. I love this location. This is just perfect for me. I wouldn't want to have this show anywhere else. I sit in the Letterman's Jacket Room. If you've seen the pictures that I've posted on social media, it's just so fun. So looking at Letterman's Jackets from Buchanan, Bullard, Kingsburg, Clovis West, behind me you got Selma and Central. If I'm looking straight at this board that has all the patches, you know, Fireball High School, Dinuba High School, the colors, there's purple and white, you know, Washington Union. It's awesome. It's awesome. So big thanks to First String Sports for being my day one sponsor. Again, if you go back to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, you could download all the other episodes that we've had in Central Valley Sports Report. You could also find the Jose Gonzalez Show, Home Field Advantage, and, of course, Tony D, Bulldog Hour. That guy is awesome. Love listening to him driving home. Talking with Stephen Hicks right now, sports director at ABC 30. Does a great job. You know, my Fridays are pretty crazy. You know, I'm a teacher, and then I do my games that night, and then I do my Saturday show. And you know, I get home from my games and try to time it right where I turn it into Stephen Hicks and the gang and do their Friday night lights. And they do an incredible job recapping all the high school games. And I believe you were at, what, three different games last night, Steven?
Three different games, yeah. We've been kind of on that trend the last couple of weeks and running from game to game, getting as much as we can, and then running back to see if we can get it all on the news that night. So
we're going to be talking about that, about what your Fridays look like in a second. But like last night, was there anything, you know, you do your plays of the week as well that I love to watch. Well, you do top five, right?
Top three
plays of the week. So what stood out to you last night in some of the high school football games?
Well, you and I were talking about how difficult it is to finish a high school season perfect, right? And I can count on one hand how many have gone through a regular season doing that. And Clovis West is in the midst of one right now. And, you know, I don't like the term trap game, but you could say that this was a trap game before facing Central next week, facing Clovis North. And, you know, Clovis North hung in there. But the Clovis West Golden Eagles, you know, they Markarian and Marshall Sanders, they got it done. And I think that kind of stood out to me is how difficult it is to win, how difficult it is to finish a perfect season, especially when you have the expectations that come along with the success that Clovis West has had so far. Coach Eric Brown, after that big game against Buchanan, I ran out there and in the heat of the moment threw a camera and a microphone in his face, and he said Clovis West is back. And that one line has kind of hung over the program since then. And so there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. And so I think that kind of stood out for me last night. And, of course, the game down south, Kingsburg and CVC, Battle of the Titans, we called it.
That was an incredible atmosphere. You know, talked a lot about that game on the show and, you know, seeing those pictures. And there's a lot to be said. You know, we give a lot of attention, obviously, to the Clovis Wests and the Clovis East and the Buchanans and the Centrals, you know, deservedly so, right? However, there's some really good football in the medium schools, in these one town schools. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about that, how towns rally around a school like Kingsburg, and CVC obviously has a huge following. But, you know, what an incredible atmosphere. And to me, that's high school football.
Yeah, I didn't really get to experience that. When I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, I went to a small Catholic school. My graduating class was like 84. And if we won three games in a season, we were like, this was awesome. Like, we did it, guys.
Yeah.
And so to come here, you know, you and I were talking off air. My first season covering high school sports was 2015 down in Bakersfield, California. And to kind of see the communities down there, like, you know, go to Taft, California. Yeah. And then I come up here and go to Selma, go to Sanger, and to see the towns rally around these programs – I mean, it's not a cliche to say that things shut down to go to the game on Friday night. And last night, Kingsburg CVC was certainly one of them. And, you know, I'm excited to see what the rest of the season holds.
No, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the questions I really wanted to explore with you, being in Bakersfield for 3.5 years and then now being in the Fresno area. What is the main difference that you have found out between Bakersfield schools and those surrounding areas and then the surrounding areas here that you cover?
I hope I don't make anyone in Bakersfield upset by saying this, but my observation was that it was kind of like a big brother, little brother type situation. And I don't know that anyone's caught off guard by me saying that, but, you know, Fresno is always the big brother that, you know, Bakersfield and those teams down there wanted to beat. And to some degree, the Central Valley sees that with the rest of California, right? Southern and Northern California. Yeah. But I don't know that there's much of a difference. I think, you know, when the athletes come along, you know, Cody Kessler was just finishing up. You know, there's some really marquee talent that comes out of there. Obviously, Derek Carr graduated Bakersfield Christian. I guess not too much of a difference. I think the difference would be the expectation of maybe the Clovis schools and things like that, that they expect to have that success come the end of the season, whereas Bakersfield, I think if you could separate Bakersfield Christian, like, they're kind of happy to be there.
Yeah, I agree. And no, you're right. There's I think when a lot of Fresno and Clovis schools have to drive down to Bakersfield to play, like, oh, got to drive down to Bakersfield to play, right? And then I think when Bakersfield comes up to a Clovis school, like, maybe the difference in facilities, right, is a big deal. I've heard that Bakersfield, like, they have a big issue with swimming pools.
Yeah,
is that
only
true?
There's only a handful of them.
Only a handful of swimming pools where I hear you pretty much have a swimming pool on every campus.
Olympic size swimming pools up here. It's pretty wild.
Well, they hold the state swimming meet, Clovis West, right? I mean, it's perfect. And the state track meet at Buchanan. I want to get into that a little bit, but I want to ask you, going back to Friday nights, or your entire Fridays, right? Can you just take us into the day of a sports director?
Yeah,
what's that day look like?
I tell interns and I tell new people to our station that on Friday nights in high school football season, I am counting seconds. I'm not counting minutes. Like, I've got it dialed to how many seconds I have to get on air with all of the video, all of the scripts, all of what we call CGs. You see those graphics that pop up. I mean, it is just an absolute beast to put together. So for me, the day starts, there's a plan that I put out on Monday or Tuesday of the games that we're going to try and get to. And sending crews, you know, left, right, and center in the valley. And, you know, come Friday, it's, okay, this photographer called that sick. We're going to have to get this photographer to go there. And so kind of adjusting, you know, to the ever-changing plan. And then I send my co-anchor, Alec Nolan. I send him out at 6 o'clock to do a live shot, kind of a preview at one of the games. Try and get him out of town so that he can hit some of those other small towns coming in. And then after that, I just grab a camera and, like you said, run to three games if possible. Come back, try and give myself like a hard out time of, you know, 9:30. So I'm back at the station with enough time to cut all the video. And it's just like real quick. I mean, we have about 45 seconds to a minute for each game that we put on the air. And, you know, you kind of, when you're on the sidelines, you know in your head what is going to make air. And so it's not that long of a process in terms of cutting it. But then it's, you know, like, let's say Hillmore had a walk-off Hail Mary. It's like, okay, do we have video? Can we call the coach? Like, let's try and get that in the show. And so it's all of those things trying to get it on. It's like a 15-minute show that we do, so pretty wild.
Yeah, that was my next question. Like, so yeah, the show's about 15 minutes, so that's good. That's a nice chunk, right? But
typical sportscast is 3 minutes. For
yes,
context.
Exactly. Right, on a typical day, it's about that. But then Friday nights are obviously very special. But what does the editing process look like? Like you load everything into the computer, and you're the guy, right?
Yeah, I mean I break it up pretty well, and so I've got Alec editing, I've got some photographers editing. Our super intern, you are familiar with him, Gabe Camarillo. I cut video and I have him write what we call shot sheets. And so we know the names of who scored, we know the score, and then I kind of go in and clean that up and, you know, write it for my style of talking and things like that. but yeah, it's organized chaos is, I think, the best way to describe
it. Is the banter that you have, so, you know, Bree, you know, did the report with Bree Mellon you know, she
who
left
can't
the
quit it, by the way. She was at a Thousand Oaks High School football game last night.
I saw the highlight. She posted it on Twitter. She can't quit it. You're right. And then, you know, now you have Alec Nolan. But is that banter planned or is that just you guys?
Oh,
you
there, go back we don't script the banter. No.
Okay, yeah, I know. It's just like, you can't.
Yeah. And prior to Bree, it was Chris Alvarez. And, you know, prior to me, it was Tommy Tran. And so you kind of hope that whoever's in that role can. We call it ad-libbing, just kind of go back and forth.
Well, I mean, you let your personality shine, right?
Yeah.
You have to. So what? When the Friday is all said and done and you're able to – when are you able to exhale and finally relax? When you maybe
– Wednesday.
I'm talking not later that night or Saturday morning.
No,
like
because,
right now.
Because Saturday we start getting up ready for Fresno State football. And then, you know, Sunday we talk NFL football. And I've got a Bulldog show that runs Sunday nights at 6:30. And that's an even bigger beast than Friday night. And then Monday the Hedford press conference comes. Tuesday I talk to Trent Dilfer. And Wednesday I exhale. And we start it all over.
So what have you had any real awkward moments sports casting? I know you might not, you know what can you share about us? It's you know, you're live.
I think,
right?
The secret to longevity is a short memory and blocking out the mistakes. But one that does stick out to me is I was at Bakersfield College, Liberty Bakersfield, I think, and I was going live in the 6 o'clock show. And so I'm standing there, I'm wearing what we call a wireless lavalier mic, wireless lav. And I'm just talking to my photographer as I'm waiting to go live. I'm trying to memorize my script. And all of a sudden, I hear an echo in my thoughts. You know what I mean? My microphone was picked up over the stadium PA. The stadium PA picked up my wireless signal. And I just thank my lucky stars I didn't say anything offensive or anything like that. And
like, I can't believe I'm at this dump right now, right?
Yeah, and I didn't say anything negative. I mean, I try to be a positive person, so I guess I got lucky there. But, yeah, that kind of stands out. But, obviously, I've had some blunders on camera starting out. You know, you kind of forget your lines, and then you realize you're live on TV, and you know, deer in the headlights. But, like I said, I try and block those out.
Well, yeah, sportscasting and newscasting bloopers are some of the funniest things out there.
I refuse to watch them, by the way. I think it's bad karma.
It's going to be you one day.
Yeah, that's my fear.
Well, what's something about the sports casting life that most people do not understand? You did a great job just showing us what a day in the life is. But what's something else that most people don't understand about your job?
You mean besides the makeup for men?
Yeah.
Let's start with that.
You got to do it yourself, right?
I think the hours maybe catch people off guard. They think that I just like 9 to 5 and then talk about sports at 6 and go home. But no, it's, you know, I go in at 2:30 in the afternoon and I get off at midnight. And so those are, you know, kind of some crazy hours. I think coming up with our own sports, you know, segments and ideas, it's not back in the day where we can just send out a crew and then I'm the face of the sports cast. Like everything that kind of goes into it was, you know, produced and shot by me. And so I think the workload kind of catches people off guard a lot of times. I think that might be it.
Well, that's why you relish your Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe try to get a little workout, right? Try to exhale. I know you don't exhale really till Wednesday, but yeah, Saturday mornings, you hopefully get to sleep in a little bit. I want to ask you, too, you mentioned, you know, big game tonight, Fresno State, and all your workings with Fresno State football. But what, you know, what's one of the big differences between covering college football to high school football, right? High school football, it's all positive, right? You got, you know, there's no winners and losers. That's kind of like with my job, right? You root for everybody, right? You want good games. Fresno State's the hometown, right? So you got to have a little bit of an angle. Is that how you think about it? Like, right? I mean, you're not coming down hard on Fresno State, but, you know, right? 1-4 right now. However, you know,
it could
emotions
be better.
Aren't high. It could be better.
I think what I say is I don't root for teams, but I hope that they win, right? It makes my job a lot easier when I'm asking questions about, wow, that was a pretty sweet 80-yard touchdown right there, right? Instead of, you know, why can't the offense convert a third down? I think that's kind of it. You know, I'm still going to ask the, you know, quote-unquote hard questions. It's yeah. college football at yeah. the end of the day. But it just makes life a lot easier when they're winning. And right now they're 1-4. And you know, and speaking with coaches behind the scenes, this is a good football team. I mean, it's a very experienced staff. You know what I mean? I don't think that they're lying to me when they say that it's a good team. They've been on teams where they know it's a bad team. They just can't turn the corner right now. And I think it highlights the importance of the quarterback position and losing Jake Haener and what that has done to this team. You know, I said it going into Boise, let's give Logan Fife another chance to kind of show himself. He, you know, flew 3,000 miles across the country, his first ever start. Second ever starts in Boise. It's the biggest crowd ever for the Broncos. I mean, I don't know if you've been to a game there.
Well, and not to mention the turf.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It is a raucous environment. And so for him, those are his two starts. Let's see what he does at home, right? I mean, yeah. in front of some familiar coaches, fans, you know, Coach Tedford, Trent Dilfer, they both talked to me this week about how different it is playing the position when you're in front of your home fans. And so let's see what happens tonight.
Talking with Stephen Hicks, and this is a big game, and you know, I got season tickets, right? I go as a fan, and sometimes I see you down there, I'm able to wave at you, and so I go as a fan, so I got the fan's perspective. So I find myself, with college football, especially with Fresno State, I had high expectations. I
was like, oh, we all did.
They're going to be good, right? And Haener, you know, preseason player of the year and all this stuff, and you know, Jalen Moreno Cropper and all these guys, and Mims, we were expected to have a huge season, but yeah, for many reasons that we're not necessarily going to explore here, they're 1-4, and yeah, this is a big game tonight. It's going to really, I think, hopefully change the trajectory of this season. But is there, going back to high school a little bit, is there a high school event or a game that really sticks out to you? I know, did you go to the wrestling state championships in Bakersfield, right? So you did that, and I'm sure you've been to all the state swim, state track meet, and Sally Rain, and all that stuff. So is there something cool that sticks out to you?
I'll take you behind the curtain here. We can't go to everything at once, right? And so that weekend is state wrestling and Sally basketball, yeah. right? And so back in the day, I would trade video with ABC 30 now. Back in the day, I was working at 23 ABC, and so I would trade video back and forth. So I would go to wrestling, they would go to basketball, and we trade video. We have everything that night. So, yeah, I've been to wrestling. I mean, it's a crazy scene down there. I think you asked me this question earlier, and I think what stands out to me are the football games, right? And seeing the crazy final seconds when the whole town is there and, you know, the buildup of these games. Two moments stand out for me, and I don't know if you were at either of these games, but one of them was the Bakers with Christian Selma game in 2017, that state playoff game.
Oh, yeah.
That was wild. It went back and forth. I think it was I don't know if it was a designed, you know, fake field goal,
yeah.
go for the touchdown, but it was intercepted. Bakers with Christian ran it back for a touchdown. Selma had they score a touchdown in the final seconds. They go for two, and they end up missing it. Bakersfield Christian wins. The other one is Highland and South Bakersfield. It's, I think, almost the same situation we're in now with Clovis West, where they're trying for this perfect season. Highland was 8-0. They're going up against a rival in South, and it goes back and forth. Final seconds, Highland's at the 1, 4th-and-1 at the goal line. They're stopped, and so South celebrates, game over. But there's just enough time left for an onside kick. Highland recovers, get a first down, chuck a Hail Mary, pass deflected, and it's caught by Highland, and they win the game.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, those moments stand out to me. I mean, I'm just like, what just happened? You know what I mean? And luckily enough, a couple of those moments happen in your career, and you're able to see them.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And for me, you know, Selland Arena, Clovis West boys and Bullard when Dante Chacheret took that, I don't know if you remember, 4 seconds
2018,
left.
19?
Yeah, right? I think right before COVID. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, took an inbounds pass with 4.1 seconds, took three dribbles, and made a layup, and then they won in overtime. That tied the game. That was, I mean, that's just one of many memories in Iowa Sound Arena. And state wrestling's at the same time. So, yeah, so great stuff. I want to ask you, too, you mentioned you do interviews with Trent Dilfer, right, on Tuesday. But are there some really cool athletes out there that are just that you love to talk to that are super easy? They're like, man, I really enjoy this guy. This guy's pretty big time, but you know, he's a cool cat.
You know, I think any softball player is honestly super well spoken. I think that's something that kind of catches us off guard when we go out there for media availability. I'm like, wow, they're really well spoken. They're throwing some predictions, you know, preseason stuff, and I think you know, anybody who's well spoken, I think that for me, the name that comes to my mind is Alec Trujillo, you know, now Fresno State quarterback. He was at San Joaquin Memorial. I just love talking to that kid throughout the years. And I'm just like, wow, he's, you know, just saying the right things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think for me, like a lot of the Clovis kids, right. I mean, you just had Ryan Markarian just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And again, these are high school kids that I interview. Right. And you've interviewed a lot of people, but just the ones that are able to process, because, you know, it can be tough to be interviewed, right? And to be able to process and to be well-spoken, and, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. So I think, a lot of the Clovis Unified kids do a phenomenal job at
they
that.
They do, yeah. And another name that sticks out is Lawrence White and Jordan Love down when I was in Bakersfield. Those kids were, I mean, incredible. And what's cool for me, too, is as a TV guy, they would say something that would make a headline, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they would say something like, "We're going to win Valley this year." It's like, thank you for saying that on camera.
We love it. So we talk a lot about the Mount Rushmore, so to speak, of Fresno athletes. You got Aaron Judge, Derek Carr, Paul George, and we got to add Josh Allen to that. But how neat is it to be able to follow those type of athletes that, you know, that we kind of call our own and see them on the national stage and breaking records and doing all these great things?
You know, going back to your first question of when I unplug, I golf a lot, Paul. And I was golfing Thursday afternoon with the head basketball coach out at Avenal High School. I'm not sure his last name, but Travis. And he's a basketball guy. So he says, is Jalen Green the best athlete to come out of the Central Valley? And I just listed the Mount Rushmore that you told me, and he's like, all those guys are from here? And I was like, yeah, I mean, it is an incredible time for sports coverage in this valley, and it's just super privileged to be covering, for me, like a guy like Josh Allen, right? What an that's like a Cinderella story, to be coming from a farming town like that, overlooked by the hometown team, Fresno State. I know Bulldog fans don't want to hear that, but for me as a sportscaster, what an incredible story. Gets one offer, gets drafted in the NFL. You know, that was like one of my first weeks starting here in Fresno, was his kind of going away, you know, thank you, Reedley College.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember shaking his hand and looking at him and this, you know, doughy faced kid and all the scouting reports that he's not going to make it. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, this poor kid, he's not going to make it. And to see his career just like shoot off like a firework right now, what a cool story. And then, he's like the face of the league with Patrick Mahomes. That's just incredible.
He is. Front runner for NFL MVP in my eyes, right? Like, I mean, he's just an absolute dude. And you talk to people that knew, you know, the talent that he had, and then coming out of Fireball with zero stars and saying, you know, hey, DeRuiter, can you take me as a walk-on? I want to be a Bulldog. No, we're good.
You got a picture with Derek Carr. He's like this skinny kid.
Yeah, that's a fun picture. That's a fun picture. Oh, Steven, our time is up, unfortunately. Thanks for coming in after your Fridays. You explain to us how busy your Fridays are, and always love running into you and you know, at different events and getting the text from you and information and trading stuff. So really appreciate you coming on and talking.
Happy to do it, Paul. Thanks so much for all you're doing for this Central Valley Sports.
You bet. All right, coming up after the break, Stephen Hicks. Awesome. Thank you. Coming up after the break, we got Darren Carr. Talk about Derek Carr, right? Well, we got Darren, his middle brother, the middle brother between David and Derek, coming up on the 14th on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Gotta wait till this kicks in. Scorpions. 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Meadows. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. Every Saturday morning, 10 to 12, breaking down all the high school action. Just had a really good conversation with Stephen Hicks, ABC 30 sports director. I know Darren Carr knows Stephen. He said to say hi. We got Darren Carr on the line, head coach, Bakersfield Christian. 2016 and 2019 Valley Champs. Got a state title as well in 2019. Excited to talk about that and many more. So, Darren, first of all, Stephen Hicks says hi, man. I think he knows you from sports director days down in Bakersfield, right?
Yeah, way back in the day, man. That's funny. Yeah. Small town, right?
Yeah, small town stuff. So, Darren, first of all, thanks for taking the time to talk. What do your Saturday mornings usually look like after a game? Are you able to sleep in? Are you just constantly thinking about the game? Are you going straight to the tape? What do your Saturday mornings look like?
Yeah, so Saturday mornings, honestly, kind of roll over after Friday. So I'll probably get to bed around 1:30 because you can't go to bed until you watch the film, right? So
yeah,
we watched the game film from that night. Probably hit the bed at 1:30. We get back over here with the kids at 9 o'clock in the morning. Watch half the game with them or just certain clips, and then we have the guys work out. I think that's good for their muscles to get a good little lift in. And then I stay here for another about 2 hours, breaking down a couple things, and head home, hang out with the family, and then hit it again on Sunday. So
try to watch some college football, and then obviously I'm probably glued to the TV on Sundays, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely got to find out when Vegas is playing. So find that one out. Good thing is they got to buy, so we'll have a lot more time to kind of watch.
Yeah,
the
they do. Yeah, they do. So last night's game. So you're taking on Garces, yeah. And I've been saying, we've been talking about Garces is probably the best 1-6 team at that time in the state. Yeah. They played a loaded schedule. So you guys went down 30-13. I was trying to keep track of that game as much as possible. Looks like they went out to a lead, and you guys tried to catch up, but it was a little bit too much, right?
Yeah, no, it was it was back and forth for a while, man. We were in it. It was 16-13 around the end of the third quarter. Got the ball in the red zone twice, turned the ball over twice. Can't do that and win football games, against good coach football teams like that. And then once you turn the ball over, they get in the heavy packages. If your guys aren't aligned correctly, they're not doing their checks, doing stuff correctly, you're gonna get what you get. So it's just a combination of, kind of fixing our fits and doing our checks correctly. And honestly, man, I think they had 70 snaps on offense. I think we had 30-something on our offense. So, I mean, our defense is on the field a little too much. It just bad mixture of stuff, So, I mean, we were in it for a while, and then just kind of got out of hand towards the fourth quarter. So,
and obviously Garces, Paul Gola is their coach, and you coached with Coach Gola before you took the Bakersfield Christian job.
Yeah.
You coached at Bakersfield High. So what kind of impact did he make in your coaching career?
Yeah. So when we got back here in 2008, Coach was gracious enough to give me a shot at being a young coach, coaching D-line on the varsity. So did that for a while. Coach Gola taught me that you got to know your stuff. Number one, you got to have answers. You got to make sure you're disciplined. You got to make sure your guys are disciplined. You got to make sure your technique's on point. You got to make sure everything, all the little details is what he preached all the time, man. So definitely took that, working for him for 8 years, being around that program at BHS, historic program, he taught me, take your team, take your school, have some pride in it, bring back guys from back in the past, make sure those guys aren't forgotten. So learned a whole lot of stuff from Coach, and it was it's kind of weird, like our coaching staffs from that state year that we had together kind of split down the middle, so I kind of took like half with me and half stayed with him. And so it's really kind of cool, like looking across, obviously it's your rivalry and whatnot, but you see across, you see guys that you went to battle with, spent hours together with. So it was kind of cool to match, get together afterwards. And even some of the players that were kind of torn, man, guys that we coached and guys just come back and watch us both coach together and against each other and all that stuff. So it was a cool night, man, except for the loss.
All hugs after the game, right?
Yeah, no, for sure, man. Well, against the coaches, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, sure. So Yeah, you guys are currently 4-4 right now. You opened up with the win against Mission Prep, and then you got three really tough games. I mean, St. Joe's, Central Valley Christian, and Faith Lutheran. But you guys turned a corner before last night with wins over Tulare Western, Bakersfield, and Ridgeview. You went through that little stretch and then three-game winning streak. Is that just kind of the MO of this team? Or are you still trying to figure a couple things out? You guys think obviously you had a setback last night, but you guys were playing really good football before this game, right? Darren, are you there? Did we lose you?
Hello?
Hey, Darren.
Man, I am so sorry. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I'm sorry. My wife just pulled up with my truck, and it's right next to this wall right here, and it connected to the truck. So the
Bluetooth.
So if
the
you
Bluetooth.
Want to repeat that question again.
No, that was awesome. I got a little. I think that was your wife and your daughter, or who was that?
Perfect. Oh yeah, probably. Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome. I love it. Great. So just talking about. you had those three really tough games, and then you won three in a row. But, before last night's game, do you feel like you guys were playing really good football? Obviously, those three losses against three really good football teams, St. Joe's, CVC, and Faith Lutheran. But you feel like your team was playing pretty good football?
Yeah, no, for sure. Any high school team, man, that wants to kind of go play some, man, you got to play a tough preseason schedule. So that's what we try and do. Get out there first couple games. You want them to be tough. You don't want to go play, cupcakes and stuff like that. So we go out there, we play who we can play, best available guys that will travel, guys that we can, come here and this and that. But good football teams, man. Obviously, CBC's undefeated, and St. Joe's. Any Division I team that runs into those guys, man, they have their hands full. So anytime you got a 340-pound fullback that is motioning, it's quite a sight to see, man. So, no, they're a good football team. Then we went on a little run. As a high school coach, man, you want you guys to get better. Just keep getting better. Little things. We got to play. Whoever we matched up against on Fridays, man, and I'm super pumped where we've practiced and fixed things. And really kudos to Dave, too, man, my brother, kind of working the offense, kind of molding it as we go, what fits our guys, at that point, not just sticking to one thing and, we're doing this. We're going to keep doing it, So just modifying those things, putting our guys in the right spots. Ran the ball really well last couple, 3 weeks, We took some shots yesterday. We did have some guys wide open, missed some shots on that. That could have been touchdowns. Again, fumbling the ball in the red zone, not going to beat anybody. We had our chances yesterday. Thought we were rolling those 3 weeks into this fourth week. Still proud of the way the guys kind of worked and competed and the way we ran schemes, we ran things, man. We just gotta make plays, man. Can't turn the ball over either.
Talking with Darren Carr, and you mentioned your brother David is calling plays. So is that really true? I saw the picture on social media. Was David really calling plays on his iPad from London? Because he was in London for the football game against Ridgeview. Is that true?
Yes. So he went back. I think he was back there Saturday, from Saturday on through Sunday, I think. And he's back there. I'm like, well, how can we do this? So we live stream our games, right? So made sure the stream was up. The link was good. He got on there. I think it was like 3:30 a.m. maybe his time. And so what we had his son Tyler. He played for us a couple years ago. No one knows it better than Tyler. Like him, he's been learning my brother's offense, doing this stuff since he was like 6 years old. So we had him down there. He knew the plays, whatnot. So Dave's literally relaying plays in. Maybe there's like a 3 second delay, but he can at least see it, right? and he was calling this. Hey, make these. What he was doing everything from the phone on to Tyler. Tyler was calling the plays, and then so on and so forth. So, yeah, no, he was up and calling plays and taking shots, and it was it's pretty interesting, man.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. So I had a really good conversation with you this summer. We were able to connect at the golf tournament, watching Derek and David, hit the golf ball around, and that was a lot of fun. And but I want to ask you, what's the beard game look like? Like, you got the full beard right now, or what's going on? You letting it grow? What do you look like right now?
Yeah, no, the beard is definitely growing, man. It's getting whiter, obviously, after the loss. There's a couple white hairs afterwards, but full beard, man. I'm actually growing my hair out, man. I'm kind of a rebel right now. So
yeah,
growing the hair out. Yeah, I haven't had that in a while. I'm a real rebel guy. Yep. So got that rocking. The kids like it. They're rocking it. So I've kind of inspired some of the other coaches too. They're getting a little shaggy too. So,
are you a hat guy? Yeah. Do you wear a hat on the sideline during games?
I'm a big hat guy. Yeah, big hat guy.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah. So yeah. you got the flow a little bit coming out of the hat.
Yeah, the flow's going, man. Yeah. So as long as my wife is okay with it, I'll just keep.
Yeah, they're right. That's the big question with the beard and the hair. Yeah. You got to keep the wife happy. You know, all it has to say is, you know what, honey, can you trim that thing? And you got to do it.
Oh yeah, no, it's for sure. Yeah, you kind of look homeless. You know, you gotta maybe fix that up. You're right. Okay, I'm sorry.
What are your thoughts about the way playoff system looks right now? Like, you know, Division III, you got to move up. You could go to Division II if you have a stinky year. You could go down to Division. What are your thoughts and opinions about that?
You know, in my opinion, man, I'm going to say the cliche thing. We're going to play what we got to play, right? We can't do anything about it, fix it, whatever. They decide one thing, we're going to play it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I would like it to just be, hey, year one, year two, year three. And some years, you're going to be on fire. And that can't be your fault or be a negative on you. You know what I mean? Like, because us, for like BCHS, like our school, we really don't know who's coming through the door every year, you know? As a public school, you know, you're going to have 100 freshmen. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. You got guys coming in, always rotating in, right? For us, man, it's a little difficult situation, man. You know what I mean? So we'll never know. You know, we may have years where we're, you know, in 2019, we got a great squad. Could we have played the Division I championship? Sure, man. Like, absolutely. We had some of the best players in the state, man, playing for us. So I don't know, man. It's kind of a little bit of a crapshoot for me, man, decide what to do, what's the right thing to do, what should you do, strengthen the schedule, minus that, hurt these teams. Some teams could, you know, could fold certain games, like they know they're in this certain spot. If we lose this game at the end of the year, maybe we drop down in Division II or Division III and become the one seed instead of the 11th seed in Division II, you know what I mean? So there's ways you can kind of fool with things a little bit. I wish that wasn't part of it. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, man, but we'll play wherever we got to play, though.
No, it's tough. It's definitely a talking point among everybody. We're talking with Darren Carr right now. So I heard you got some memories of sneaking into Bulldog Stadium with your dad. Is that a true story? Walk me through that story.
Yeah, a painful memory too, man. So you know, Fresno State's right down the road from where we lived, and my dad's like, man, you know what? I got a son that got an arm. I got a son that can rush the quarterback a little bit. I'm going to take him to Bulldog Stadium, man, see if we can get down there and spark their dreams a little bit, you know. So we went out there. We usually just went on the practice field. We jumped the fence there. We go on the practice field. There's one time there were some bags left out, and I told Pat Hill that, and you know, about a couple of years ago, and he was still upset that there was bags left out. But I told him thank you because I used them and I was tackling them, all this stuff. So we were out there playing, man. And my dad one day was like, hey, let's go on the field, man. So I'm like, all right, let's go on the field. So we come up by the ramp with the entrance, right? And we got to jump this fence. Well, Dave and my dad, they're pretty athletic, you know, skinny guys. I'm a little bit of a hefty guy. So it took me a little bit to get up the fence, and then you got to get over the fence. You had some barbed wire on it a little bit. So as I'm coming down, I actually got over the fence. My dad helped me down. I scraped my wrist, and it started bleeding pretty good. Luckily, it didn't go too deep. But I do have a scar on my right arm. From Bulldog Stadium, sneaking onto the field. But once we got over there, got over it, threw on the field, and I think security came out and ran us off in about 30 minutes. But it was maybe they didn't know who they were running off at the time.
That's right. That's right. They didn't know. They didn't know the last name.
No. But then Dave and Derek go out there and have a great, great career out there, man. But, yeah, Bulldog Stadium, love it, bro.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talking with Darren Carr. So I know, obviously – you know, you're a high profile family. Your brothers are, you know, NFL guys, and obviously we root hard for them. And we feel like we've known Derek for years, right? We watched him grow up, and you know, hanging around with David and stuff. But there, I want to ask you this: has there been a question that people ask you? You know, maybe it's a, you know, somebody in the media or some random person. Is there a question that people ask you that really bothers you? Is there something like, oh man, I got to try to answer this again?
One that really bothers me.
Are you cool with everything? I mean, you are. From what I know, you. I mean, you could talk about anything and everything, but I'm just curious. Is there something? Yeah. Like, oh man, I've got to explore this again.
No, you know, it's just. I think sometimes, man. For me, I don't think people know what these guys actually go through on a daily basis. They know they make millions and they play football on Sundays, right? These guys, a lot of people and fans and media just have no clue what these guys go through mentally, physically. I respect the heck out of every one of these college kids and even high school kids, man, and especially professional football players. There's not one guy on that field that goes out to mess up and lose a game on purpose. You know what I mean? They're all out there working their tails off, man. So I think it's just like the respect thing that sometimes gets lost, or they don't see these guys as human beings. That really gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, you know. They don't see these guys waking up super early, saying no to the sugar and bread and eating this and that and doing what they're supposed to do and being, you know, good football players and good people and this and that and taking the field on Sunday. So I think sometimes it just gets a little lost in maybe communication, not treating these guys like humans. You know what I mean? So maybe a little bit more understanding and just patience with these guys.
Absolutely. And what does your house typically look like when you guys are watching a Raiders game? Because I love watching Raiders games then checking Twitter, because your Twitter is awesome during Raiders games, man. I love that stuff. I'm liking everything that you post. Like, retweet. It's awesome. So what's the house look like when you guys are watching a Raiders game?
It's intense, man. It's about the same it is on a Friday night with me and Dave, us coaching our own kids, man. But it's intense, dude. So, I mean, it's your brother out there. You got blood on the field, you know what I mean? So, and then you kind of get to know Max. You get to know Hunter. You get to know Foster. Like, we play video games with these guys all the time. And you get to know all these cats. You got a lot of skin in the game, you know what I mean? So, it's a stressful time. You know, because you know it means so much. And, again, goes back to the human aspect. You know how hard this guy works. You know how early he gets up. You know how bad he – man, I'm telling you, Raider Nation, this guy wants to win a Super Bowl so bad for you guys, man. I'm telling you right now. And he could have chose to go anywhere he wanted to the last couple of years, honestly. Okay? He chose to stay in the silver and black. So, he's out there working his tail off. These guys are out there doing it. I think they're really close. You know, we're kind of rolling into Raider football now, but you got me all fired up.
I know. I love it.
I mean, they're super close, man. I mean, they're a couple points away from being 4-1, you know. I think they're right on the cusp. I think they just fix some stuff. Some guys look in the mirror and figure out their stuff. I think they'll be just fine. I really do.
Is there a practical joke that you got that runs through your family? Is there something that you got, you and David and Derek, is there, or maybe even your dad? Is there something that is there some type of a joke or something that you've pulled on each other in the past?
Oh my gosh, joke wise?
Yeah, I know, because you guys have a great sense of humor. I think that's something that's a little overlooked too. Like, the Carr family's funny.
You do. No, we are. You know, you gotta have thick skin. You definitely have to have thick skin. You know, my dad doesn't like to talk to the media. That was a joke one time we pulled on him. They were doing like a little commercial shoot for their weight training or something like that here at Carly when they had it. And they got my dad up there, and he's like, "Dad, you don't have to say nothing at all. We're just going to do this around you. You just be there. That way people can see you so you can do your quarterback lessons and whatnot." And he's standing there, and they say action, and they're talking, and they point to my dad to go. And my dad's like, a warm flush went over his body. He's like, "I'm not talking." He walked off set, so. It was kind of funny. That was kind of a joke. So there's little jokes here and there we do. But, man, just with us, man, like, if you came and talked to me right now, this is the same way I'm going to be to you. You know what I mean? We are who we are in public. We're how we are in private. We're the same kind of people, man. So I think a lot of times that gets lost to people. They're not the same as they are at home as they are out in public. So, but with us, man, you know, we had a good chat while we're walking around the golf course having some fun. So.
Absolutely.
We just like to have fun, man. Life's too serious, man. We have some fun. We keep things serious, but same time, it's okay to laugh every once in a while, you know?
No, absolutely. And I can attest to that, because we met up when the boys were done. And I was walking around with my daughter and my brother-in-law and his son. And you guys, hey, David, come over here. Can you sign this? So you guys signed something special for my nephew and for my daughter. So that meant a lot to me. So that was really cool. Yeah. So I can definitely attest to that. I want to ask you a couple more questions. Darren, thanks. First of all, thanks for taking the time. This has been a lot of fun. I wish we had more time. But who can bench press more right now? You,
me.
Derek, or David?
Yeah, it's me. There's no chance.
Hands
They're
down.
Not getting me. I don't care who they are. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, like a one time. What are you at right now? A one timer.
You know what? So we go overall max, and I have them both. So I did 465 when I was 21. Woo. That was my max. And so – now, honestly, straight up being serious, I think Derek may make, because he's still in the game, right? I've seen that man rep 365 maybe five, six times. So I think I'm right at that still. So I maybe have to nod it to the younger brother, but that doesn't mean anything. They'll still whoop him.
I got you. And something else that I've kept track, I guess, in the back of my mind over all these years is the amount of times that media members have called Derek David. If I set the over under at like 732, what do you think it's over? Yeah. Right, over or under 732? What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's over for sure. It's over. I think one time, I think even Jim Nantz may have said they were bringing up a story about us three coming up. I think he might even have dropped my name. I think my name was like in his brain, and he dropped Darren Carr during a broadcast. It was pretty funny. But it's definitely over. Like, especially with the guys that played with Dave and knew Dave, and they're trying to talk about Derek now, they say Dave all the time.
Yeah. No. Well, right. I mean, your mom and dad didn't do anybody favors by all starting with the letter D and then having two syllables, yeah, no. Right? David, Derek, yeah. Darren, right?
Yeah, 100%. And all our middle initials are D also. So that's my dad. He's a little bit of a, you know, he's different. So it all different. Happens, everything in a row. So, yeah.
And dad's name is Roger, starts with an R. So they maybe ran out of R names, right?
Right, exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, Darren, unfortunately, our time is up. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk to you. Congrats on the season so far. You got a couple more games. You got Highland next week and then Independence finishing the season. So we'll be watching out for you guys and look forward to talking to you again. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, that was Darren Carr. That was a great conversation, man. And what I appreciate about him is obviously he lives in a high-profile family, and his brothers are incredible quarterbacks. And he's the middle brother, right? He's the defensive lineman of the group. He wasn't the quarterback. So I really appreciate Darren Carr. Coming up, we're going to wrap everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
What a fun 2 hours we had here at First String Sports, Central Valley Sports Report. That was a lot of fun talking with Darren Carr. Oh, man, wish I had an hour with that guy. He sent me a text right after, said, yeah, appreciate you, Paul. Thank you. That was fun. Have me back anytime. So that's definitely what you want to hear after your interview. So it was really fun. It's, you know, He's a great football coach. He's part of a high profile family, and to pull back the curtain and share a few stories about what it's like growing up Carr was really fun to see. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Big thanks to First String Sports. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo for jumping on, for producing the show. Thanks to Jorge here, who does a great job helping me set up, getting t-shirts for our 1430 student athletes of the week. Handing out stickers, getting water for everybody. So big thanks to him. Thanks to Ryan Markarian from Clovis West. Deshaun Watts got to jump in for a little bit. What a character that guy is. Love talking to him. Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC 30. And then again, thanks to Darren Carr for joining the show. We will talk to you soon.